Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, Cinema Classics, which airs on Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by Feedspot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Oh, sweet. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Gary Hammond.
And this is Double Take. And I said to myself, out of my great stable of film critics, who's tall, handsome, rugged, and romantic? I said, it has to be Gary Hammond.
Oh.
And it fits because that's what we have with the new version of Wuthering Heights.
True, but it's inspired by the book by Miss Bronte.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's a little different.
Right. I'm comparing my friend Gary here with Heathcliff.
Yes.
Who is the male romantic lead in this. Well, what's your overall impression?
I'm the brutish version, really, of him. After he was cleaned up, he was quite striking.
That's true.
He was quite striking when he was hairy and dirty, but he was very striking. Strikingly handsome, in fact, when he came back as a moneyed gentleman.
We never found out, nor do I think that Bronte told us how he made his money.
No, but it happened so fast and he had so much, it had to be something dark.
Probably, yeah. Jacob Elordi, who played the monster Frankenstein, is here playing opposite one sweet actress.
Oh, my goodness.
Margot Robbie.
Yes.
Probably the best-known actress now, I think, or the most active. At least she is one of the most prominent actresses.
Okay.
And I'd like to look a little bit at her filmography later on, if you don't mind.
Okay, we can do that.
But right now, ordinarily we don't do this, but I would like to know your overall impression of the film.
I very much liked it. I mean, very much liked it. I especially enjoyed her. I enjoyed him. All the players thought were great in it. Father was horribly defective person. Did he need AA? He needed incarceration in a mental institution is what he needed. He was a gambler and a drunk. He did drink himself to death, and people that don't go to AA that are alcoholics sometimes do that. There was a memorial to him. His body, which I won't give too much away, where all the empty bottles that were stacked up in the house, it was very impressive. Yeah, I really liked the movie, the quirkiness of it. Isabella's smile during one of the scenes reminded me very much of The Little Things, Emily Blunt.
The smile that she had,
and I suspect it inspired Emma Stone.
Yeah.
Emma Stone.
Good point.
I kept trying to think of whose smile was that? Whose smile is that? And I figured out the movie, and I actually looked it up. I didn't see the smile again on Emma Stone.
Isabella's the leftover.
The ward.
Right, but she hooks up with Heathcliff.
She does.
After Heathcliff has lost Kathy, for sure.
Well, and it's so that he can torture Kathy.
So overall, you're pleased. And overall, I'm ambivalent. The first part caught me right away when Emerald Fennell, who is the director,
mm-hmm.
and she did Promising Young Woman. That was her best, the other film that she's directed.
Mm-hmm.
When she opens up and lets us know she's not doing a standard Wuthering Heights,
mm-hmm.
when we hear the groans of a man who could be in the throes of passion,
mm-hmm.
and then we find out that he's being strung up,
right.
as you said.
Hang
him high.
Yeah.
I said, okay, this is not going to be your standard Wuthering Heights.
Oh, I agree. It's not the standard Wuthering Heights, which is why it says underneath in little letters, inspired by
the book. I know it.
To give it context, I went back and viewed the one with Sir Laurence Olivier and Merle Oberon. That was 1939. There's even another one from 2009 with Tom Hardy and Charlotte Riley. But Kyla Sondolaro and James Houston, and Heathcliff is described in the book as being dark in color, and in Wuthering Heights they referred to him as a gypsy, and in the 2011 version he was black.
And so they choose this very white guy to play Heathcliff. Now that's where...
But he was dark, John. He was a dark from the beginning.
Yeah, but not dark skinned.
No, not dark skinned, but
right,
dark.
Dark hair.
Right.
And lots of hair.
When he played the youth, he had a short haircut and so on, but he was very dark. He was a dark personality.
I thought the two of them, Kathy and Heathcliff, when they were younger, were very engaging.
Oh, yes, very much so.
I really liked them, maybe even more so than Margot and Jacob later on. But
I didn't, but go ahead.
Okay, and if I wanted to tell you what my disappointment in the second part of this film, you know that I'm in love with women.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, I have no complaint about lovemaking.
Mm-hmm.
But the kissing that went on in the last half of that film was just obnoxiously ever present. Now you think, here's a guy, he's complaining about kissing? Yeah, that's all they did was kiss.
Yeah, well.
I know, I'm just saying, for the narrative, I get the point. Now, you and I have talked about this before, and I think we have similar feelings. So much violence now, you know, just give me a little bit and I got it. Now, this thing, I think the last half of this film is all lust.
Oh, it is all lust and sadomasochism. Apparently, I liked that.
And you did.
They were so enthralled with each other.
Oh, yeah.
That they could not be kept apart, and they were not going to be kept apart. And that's the whole point of the movie, that they are absolutely driven. And the things that they end up doing because of this lust, well, it was shocking. Yeah.
Well, it's lethal.
Yeah.
And there were some updated sequences. Like there's this arch that they go and smooch under. And what is that?
It's the Arch of Love, man.
I guess it is anyway. I think Fidel just doesn't care. You caught her thematically, right? There's the lust for life. We could rename this thing.
Yeah.
And boy, are they at it. And, you know, I got tired of it. There was so much of that, I got tired of it. That's my complaint about the film, is that I think she took the sensuality and the lustfulness, which is in Bronte, but hardly to the extent. Because you know that I do not want to compare this with the original and extensively. I think that's a black hole. Because Bronte did this and now Fidel did this. No. I don't need that. This is a work of art of itself. And so therefore, I am saying that I think it was excessive of her to play in at least half the film on their lust. And what I really was pleased about was the 18th century setting, such as when we started with the man hanging high.
Right.
And going and all that. I really love when Hollywood does that. It just is.
Wuthering Heights was published in 1847 by Emily Bronte, and she was a spinster. At that point, a teacher with her sisters. Now, all three, and Charlotte Bronte wrote Jane Eyre, and Anne Bronte wrote The Tenant of Wildfell Hall, which was a feminist manifesto.
Yes, right.
And Charlotte later married, but they lived in a parsonage with their father.
I've walked there. I've been there.
Okay.
I walked the moors in Yorkshire.
And did you see ghosts or spirits?
No, but I tell you, I could feel the presence of the Brontes.
Okay.
It is so dark. It is so forbidding. Even the pub that's still there, I think. Anyway, it's very atmospheric. Because we had the How to the Baskervilles, Sherlock Holmes, the cassette
in
the
moors. Well, the dogs are there. And I want to say the 2011 version of it is actually darker than the 1939 version with Sir Laurence Olivier. It's so dark you can hardly see the characters sometimes. Shot out of focus. So this was bright and colorful, and yet much of it seemed to be in black and white because of the dark interiors. Wuthering Heights, the house, is so raw, it's so broken down, and it starts out broken down, but it gets more and more down, and the rocks around it seem to be getting taller as it shrinks into the
ground. That's good. That's a good description. And Fidel does do that. She gets some settings back there. You think you're on some other planet when you've got these outcroppings of rocks, but she's making her point. This is all pretty deadly stuff.
It's like some of the scenes in Tolkien trilogy.
Ah.
The massive towering rocks.
Yes.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. In Wuthering Heights, as we're now looking at the newest iteration, what do you think is its strength as a film? You liked it. I liked it somewhat, but you really like it. What did you think was
it? The cinematography is fantastic.
Boy, you hit it right there.
Man, I'm telling you, it was so engaging, and I mean, it was really well shot, really well filmed.
Yes.
The things are just the right horrible, or just the right wonderful, or I mean, whatever. In terms of the big scenes, you know, it's this beautiful scenery as far as that goes. In terms of the dark interiors, it's really dark interiors. I thought that she was beautiful and he was handsome, and he was rough when he was supposed to be rough. The ward's smile was, to me, just... It seemed like a
Isabella. Isabella.
Is trope the right word? I mean, okay, she was in on the joke in that scene where Kathy comes to find them, and she's just, like, shocked
yes.
at how they're behaving, and she's pretty happy with what's...
When she slides down mentally,
yeah,
and she acts like that dog or whatever the
heck. That was it. I was going to save that, John. I was not going to share that, but in any event...
It's a well-known novel, so I think we don't have to worry about what happens in this film. All right. What do you advise about Wuthering Heights, the newest version?
It's an adult movie.
Ah.
Go to an adult movie
okay.
if you want to see an adult movie. It's really dark and some of it is disturbing, but it was all the violence is not too violent. The sex is not too sexy.
Let me comment on that. I think that you brought up a point that's very important to me. Dark, yes, but can I see it? Yes. We have seen many thrillers
yeah.
where it's so dark, you don't know who's hitting whom, who's
right.
shooting whom.
Right.
This one, you remind me that when I was watching this, I had no complaint about that.
Right.
It was dark, but there was enough light to see what's going on.
Right. Yeah. And I say dark in the sense of the story,
sure.
but also in terms of the lighting, because that's important because the two are...
Yes, you're yes. right. I will complain the minute I got out of them. Yeah, but I couldn't see what happened. You can see what happened.
Well, that's what happens in the 2011 version. You can't really tell what's going
God,
on except somebody's
All right.
somebody's suffering. Go ahead.
Wuthering Heights. Gary, we're finishing our discussion of Wuthering Heights, and we're going to slip into something about Margot Robbie. What do you think, Emerald Fennell, who is the director, what do you think she was thinking when she put this thing together? What do you think she wanted?
I think she was daring us.
Yeah.
I think she was challenging us. I think she was saying, this is my version of this
yes.
movie, and I'm going to make it sexy, and I'm going to make it dramatic, and I'm going to make it bloody, and I'm going to get your attention, is what I think.
Well, when Wayne and I go to these screenings, which is sometimes on Thursday, there's rarely anybody else in the audience. But today we had several members there, mm-hmm. including, I thought, a plethora of young women. What are they interested in?
Well, it's a passionate love story. It's a passionate love story that Heathcliff is actually, in the book, he's psychotic.
Yes.
It's not that he's sadomasochistic, it's that he's psychotic. And that really applies to the Laurence Olivier version of it, the 1939 version. In terms of this, it can be viewed as a great love story. The thing that I read about it is it's not really a love story, it's a psychotic story, and that's
yeah.
what she was trying to get across. Most people that were commenting on it talked about the love story, and this is billed as a great love story and very dramatic. Robbie is a top actress now, then that's why they're there to see her. Certainly men will go see her to see how she's performing here. It's a very sensual film, very rich cinematography. We talked about it in mm-hmm, another way, mm-hmm. but it's a very rich in terms of the cinematography. Even the character actor, the father is a very good drunk despot. Mm-hmm. The yard man and girl are not so much. The woman that plays the lady's companion.
Oh, yes.
The Asian.
Yeah, she's terrific.
She is terrific. You can see that she knows how to manipulate people if it's necessary. She's there to be helpful, but she can manipulate people to help herself, too.
She really moves that plot at the point where Kathy is pregnant. She doesn't reveal that Heathcliff overhears something there, but I'm thinking of how that lady moves the plot.
She moves the plot by telling Edgar that Kathy is fooling around with Heath. When Kathy fires her and tells her to
yes.
find another position, go tell Mr. Edgar that you're leaving. She walks in and she said, sir, we need to talk.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then the worm turns, man, like that. I want to use the word believable, and it sounds ridiculous, but Edgar is very believable in that moment. He is desperate to keep... He loves her, and
yes.
he is desperate to keep her, to say that he loves her.
Well, even as I remember, it was a long time ago when I read Wuthering Heights, but how nicely Bronte parallels the two men. One is almost like an animal,
uh-huh.
that is Heathcliff, and the other is almost a milquetoast, but not quite. The difference between it reminds me of what I think Fennell does very well,
mm-hmm.
and that is the subject of classism.
Yes. And she's playing on that.
Yes.
But not to let that go, because Edgar, he's an aristocrat, but he's a man. And he wants her, and he needs
yeah.
her, and he gives, but he uses her. He's been getting what he wants, and now that's threatened. And he's not just jealous, he's crazed.
Yes. When Kathy is younger, even throughout, I suspect that she's much more manipulative than she would appear. Margot Robbie appears to be this American beauty, innocent, and she's not. She
right.
you know, she does quite a few things that manipulate, and one of them is that she knew even ahead of time that Edgar's going to fall for her.
Oh, yeah.
She knew that. It just needed to have time. Unfortunately, she sprains her ankle and has to stay there.
That was the lucky accident that
yes,
happened.
It was.
Yes,
it was. There's quite a bit of that, and that dovetails into my comment about classism.
Mm-hmm.
And I always loved the way that these novelists, and even Jane Austen, knew the difference between having money and not having money.
Right. and having class and not having class.
Yes.
And so her father had money, which he gambled and drank away.
Yes.
And Edgar has money, which he's not gambling and drinking away as far as that goes. And she wants that money. And also, it, for her, although she loves Heathcliff and admits she loves Heathcliff, but it would diminish her. It would.
Yes, that's right. She almost used that word.
Yeah, it's not quite that
that's
word.
That's what Heathcliff overhears.
Yes.
Which, to marry him.
Which cuts him to the core.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And degrade her. She said it would degrade her.
And using that Wuthering Heights crepit building, almost like a cathedral up there, to indicate the decline of the upper class, which is inevitable, but it's a very strong theme now. And you know, Brontes grew up in a middle class where their father was a prelate, and they were, to me, and a side note, and maybe it's not a side note, astonishing that these women could create novels like this in such a restrictive environment. Wow. And I always think about the Sistine Chapel and the finger of God with, is it Adam or whatever? And I think, oh, yeah, well,
yeah,
the Brontes right there.
Yeah.
There's fingers right there. Because we're the parents must have been fantastic.
Well, the mother died when the girls were very young. There were six of them. I wasn't specifically looking it up, but in that village, at that time, the life expectancy was 27 years.
Oh, my God.
Their father lived to be into his later age, in his 70s. Bronte, there were six or seven children, and they died off. There were four left at the time, and then they went too young.
It's a great trip if you go to London. Just it doesn't take much to get up there to the moors and to walk around. So if you have any affection for the Brontes, go there. And you know, you can stop at Bath with Jane Austen, which concentrates on the class business, but more concentrated in his characters on the upper class. And this one has the middle class, and this one has the struggle. And there's a movie that I loved last year, The Materialists, in which the argument was between marrying a man with money or marrying a man whom you love. And this one, that very theme works again, and it seems to be perpetual. How many women out there, attractive women, who have the chance, choose between a man of worth and a worthy man? Brontes just great job with it. But it all is helped by the fact that Margot Robbie is a singular beauty.
Yes.
And I thought we might explore a few of the things that she's done as an actress.
I'm ready.
Maybe her most famous would have to be Barbie. 2 years ago.
Yes.
She was Barbie.
Yes, yes.
If you ask anybody, they're more than likely going to cite Barbie.
Right. She was wonderful in that, too.
She was great.
Yeah.
And that was back in 23, so that was about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And what a splash that film made. And she was made for it. She looked like Barbie, and she could act silly but smart like Barbie. She was really good. On the other side, Suicide Squad, in which she plays Harley Quinn, I think is the name.
Right. A tough woman.
Yes.
Yes.
At that point, she was Wayne Miller's favorite.
Well, he's fickle. Did he come back to her after you saw it?
He also has no taste.
Oh, well, okay. Well, he got that one right, though.
He did. Can't remember what role she played, but she was, to give you an idea of the range of this woman, she was in The Wolf of Wall Street in 2013. And I don't remember.
An ingenue, maybe.
It wasn't a prominent role. Asteroid City, Babylon, in which I think she probably played a flaky Hollywood starlet, who knows? Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, that was so good.
Yes. And then she played Queen Elizabeth in Mary, Queen of Scots.
She's got chops.
Back in 2018. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jane in The Legend of Tarzan. Oh, well.
I love the Tarzan movies.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Johnny Weissmuller's the best.
I know.
Yeah, but the more modern ones are fun.
Well, this was in 16. Can you remember it all?
No, I remember, saw the movie. I don't remember specifically, except for swinging on a vine with Tarzan.
All right, Gary Hammond, you and I are getting silly, and that's because we're talking about one of the most talented women in film. Have we missed anything as you look through your notes? Have we missed anything? I think we've been, I really feel very good about our discussion.
Yeah.
Well, let me say that I ordinarily ask you, and I will ask you to close it out with your opinion. My opinion is that I'm torn in two ways. And the first one is that I love the period piece element of this. And I love the evocation of Emily Brontë, even though it's not a direct correlation between the two. It encompasses mainly the first half of that film. And that, as I said in our cinema classics, I'm disappointed there was so much lust in the last half. But I appreciated your counterbalancing me by saying, John, that's the point. That Emerald Fennell, the director, is telling us, look, here's an aspect that Emily was a little shy on. I'm going to give it to you. These people were carnally in love with each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, irresistible. Irresistible, yeah. And we have three people that are irresistible. Well, two men, but not together. There was no threesome going on. And then poor Isabella was just used by Heathcliff, and she accepted that role. And so I would say that from the smile, I think that she was as lustful as Kathy was.
Yes. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see her in Best Supporting Actor next year at the Oscars. It's a long ways away. Gary telling what the producers felt about this film is putting it out this time of year.
Yes.
And so there is some disappointment. Mm-hmm. I understand it's fallen precipitously on the tomato meter or whatever that is for the. Yeah,
but, well, what do they know?
Right. What exactly do they know? I like our opinions better. So we have a family, and they're both online and in theaters. They can see great films that are going to be candidates for the Oscars. Right. So now we have this, and it indicates a time of year when you don't usually put out great movies. Mm-hmm. But we both found something rewarding in Wuthering Heights. Yeah. So advise a family about this.
Well, it's an adult movie. If we're talking about a family, so I have adult children, and I would recommend to them that they might enjoy seeing it, as far as that goes. And I would tell people, you think there's too much lust, John. Some people might think there's just enough.
Right.
I'm not sure.
And others, not enough.
And others, not enough. That's true. It was a good movie. I very much enjoyed it. I appreciated that it was a period piece. So, again, the cinematography just carried me away. I was really struck.
I think you're right. I think the most artful part of this is the cinematography. Yeah. Putting that together, and I'm not even talking about the music and the set design, but putting that all together creates the atmosphere that Emily Brontë would be happy about. You caught it. You guys caught it. It's not exactly the story that I wrote, but you caught that the wildness, after all, the very title, Wuthering Heights, and the decay of that building and the struggles, the class struggle.
Well, and the moral decay and the decay of the middle class, because the father was never aristocracy, but he
was
the upper middle class.
That's right.
Maybe, and drank it away.
All right, Wuthering Heights. It's not the last time you're going to hear that. I'll bet you we have other iterations of that to come. It's a great story.
It is a great story, and it's a very good movie, I think. And I very much enjoyed it. So.